rejoicing there will be when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee under in the sky.
Everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Thursday night Bible teaching night, and we're into the book of 1 John, and I was going through it today, and we've covered a lot of ground, folks, in 1 John. It seems that we've had breaks in it, though, for whatever reason, and I've lacked a little continuity with it, so that is... That lack of continuity has hurt me a little teaching it because I'm like, wow, look at this. I covered this already and I covered that already. So I hope it hasn't hurt you, the continuity break. And let's see who we have with us here. We have Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, and I am here in total continuity.
Oh, well, that's what I like to hear. And Sister Kathy, yeah. How would your continuity?
Well, it's not total, but it's semi. How about that?
All right. I'll buy that. Yeah. And we know that that Sister Gigi has good continuity, but I don't know about Randy. So what do you think, Sister Gigi?
Yes, I think it's a good idea.
We're questioning his continuity.
Maybe I missed something. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of cooking. I'm trying to pay attention.
All right. Well, Sharon, I'm saying that I've broken continuity on the teaching because I'm going through it for tonight, and I'm saying, wow, I covered this. I don't remember it, and I covered this and that. So Sharon says she's got perfect continuity, and Sister Kathy says she does, and I know you do, but I wasn't sure about Randy, so that was my question.
He stepped out of the house for just a minute. I'm not sure.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Make sure you tell him I had been teasing him today, all right?
Okay. That's good. I'm sorry we're a little disrupted because we just had 50-mile-an-hour winds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've had this huge windstorm all day. So anyway, we're kind of disrupted. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. So today was a good day on my part. I was a little sad because my youngest son, I thought he was staying till Saturday, but he ended up leaving today, this afternoon. So that was a little sad. He's the baby. And he still has that feeling towards us of being the baby, even though he's far from being a baby. But emotionally, that's how you feel. But the grandkids, I'm with the grandkids today and my oldest son and his wife. So it was a good day. It's a good day. And then I was in the Word preparing for tonight. So, and then we have Sister Sharon that just came in. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Hello.
Thank you, Sharon. Yes. Hello. Thank you for coming in, Sister Sharon. Oh, and now we have Sister Rita here.
Hello, Chaplain John.
We're glad you're here.
And good evening. Thank you. And I'm glad to be here. And hello to everyone.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, Rita.
All right. So we're about to pick up on 1 John. And let's get started here. Father, I thank you for today. And I thank you for your word, Lord, that we can get into the word, Lord. And there's so much truth in your word, Lord. So much blessings in your word, Lord. And Father, we remember that the book of 1 John was written that we may have fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and that our joy may be full. So let us, as we delve into your word, let us keep that in our mind, that fellowship with you, and that our joy may be full. And whatever we do, Lord, is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let me get over here to 1 John, and we're in chapter 2. And I'm scanning down, folks. We're quite a ways as far as what we've covered. And I'm still heading towards where... Wow, wait, here we go. Here we go. All right. Now, this teaching tonight is going to be on the spirit of Antichrist. But before I do that, I've got to go back and kind of refresh our memories. If you remember, one of the objects of this book, 1 John, is the warning and the identification of the Gnostics. Sounds like a nasty word. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics. And it means knowledge. And these people had permeated the church in the last part of the first century there and into the second century. And John was writing about that heresy. So here he's identifying it as the spirit of Antichrist, which Antichrist means just what it says, against Jesus Christ. So whatever the truth is about the Lord, that they're against that. So obviously they are promoting and they're full of lies. So we'll pick this up now at 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Well, all right, and let me read verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, this verse here, verse 18, is the source of tremendous confusion. And through the years, I don't know how many people I tried to correct about this. Because here's what it says. Little children, it is the last time. All right. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, Antichrist is a person. Antichrist is the one that, and in fact, I will show you some of the names, or I guess probably all the names associated with the Antichrist. And it says, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last times. There is only one Antichrist. And when we look at the book of Revelation, which we're studying, he's known as the beast. And there's other names for him in other books in the Bible. Daniel has several names. You have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now we know there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. Well, there is one Antichrist, but there are many that have the same characteristics. A classic one in modern times would be like Hitler. He would be Antichrist, the way he went after, specifically went after the Jews, all the lies, the murdering spirit, and everything associated with him. So you could say that his followers and those that were under him were many Antichrists, but there was only one Hitler. So the Antichrist is going to lead the final rebellion against the Lord, but there are many that... Anyone that follows the Antichrist, you could say that they're Antichrist also. So the teaching on this is that there is no one identified like as the beast. Well, there is no one Antichrist. They misunderstand verse 18 there, that there is one Antichrist, and it says he shall come. Then it says, even now there are many Antichrists. So that, in fact, there is the best way to explain it. The coming of the Antichrist in 1 John 2:18 is future. So that tells you that the Antichrist has not arrived yet. But then it says, even now there are many Antichrists. Those are the lesser ones. Those are the ones that have the same spirit in them. But it's not; they are not the Antichrist. So I hope I made that clear, because it's a source of tremendous confusion with people, and there is no need for it. In fact, if you take that scripture and look at all the other scriptures, you'll see that there is one Antichrist who is not on the earth yet that will be manifested during the tribulation period and will have a final confrontation with Jesus Christ at Armageddon. So when we look at verse 19 now. They went out from us. Now those are the ones that are identified as Antichrist. But they were not of us. Because if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Okay, so the ones that are identified as Antichrist were in the church. John is saying that they were in the church, but they went out from us. Now, who went out from us? It was the Antichrist, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Well, that God was separating. He was showing the wheat from the tares here. He was showing that who was Antichrist. And they left. They went out from being amongst John and his church there in Ephesus. And they were made manifest. Now, that happens, folks. There's two ways that people can go out from a church. Number one, the one of them is they don't like the atmosphere there. They don't like the pastor for whatever reason. Maybe there's open sin there. They don't like the music, or blaring music. There can be a lot of reasons, but that doesn't mean that they are Antichrist leaving the church. And we're going to look at the doctrine of Antichrist here very shortly. But it's the doctrine that they were with, or the doctrine they believe, is how you identify whether they're Antichrist or not. So some people, churches divide for crazy reasons, sometimes the legitimate reasons, but the reason if they are Antichrist is doctrine. If they are in their doctrine against Jesus Christ, as manifested in the scriptures, they are Antichrist. All right. So let's look at this. You know, so what I'm trying to say here is not every group or, you know, a bunch of people that leave a church doesn't automatically make them Antichrist. It's the reason, and it's the doctrinal reason. What doctrine are they separating because of? All right. So I just explained Antichrist shall come, but there are many Antichrists. The word Antichrist is only found five times. And it's very interesting because even though it's found just five times, it's a familiar word. I don't know if it's as familiar today as it was back in the day. But I know, you know, back in my day there in the 1970s, even though I didn't know really anything about the Lord, I had heard that word Antichrist. My grandmother knew it from Ireland. My father knew it, hearing it in Ireland growing up. They knew that it was a very evil person. Now, and that's, I'm not limiting it to hearing it from them, but I did at home. I did hear it. And then it was just seemed to be a common expression. Antichrist. Someone that was going to be arising that was extremely evil and was against Jesus Christ. That was like kind of generally known. So it's only found five times, and it's only in John's gospel here, or John's epistle. That's it, folks. But those words ring through. They know that 666 is associated with the Antichrist. And those groups that are Antichrist, they love the number 666. That shows you what's in their hearts. So let's look at 1 John 2:2. 1 John 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. All right. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior? So, and that's where you get Antichrist. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now this gets touchy here, folks. Notice that to believe in Christ, you must believe in the Father and the Son. And that goes back to chapter 1 about the word of life was, I'm paraphrasing, but was in eternity with the Father and is now manifest unto us. All right. So who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now here's what gets touchy in. There are believers out there called oneness. We refer to them, well, believers. There are people that have a doctrine of oneness. Now oneness means there's only one God, which we believe. And sometimes God is in the appearance of the Father, and other times he is in the appearance of the Son, and other times he is in the appearance of the Holy Spirit. They call it the office. That's what they call it. He's in the office of the Father, office of the Son. You see, that is denying the Father and the Son. So they sound so similar to us, and yet they deny the Trinity. They deny the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They say that they're all the same, and that sometimes God's in the office of the Father, and sometimes he's in the office of the Son. And it's really tough to have to confront them, at least in my opinion, because they sound so good, folks, if you listen to them. And sooner or later, it will come out that they're oneness. And in back in the day when I was debating everyone about every doctrine and everything else, I found the oneness were the ones I encountered were vicious against the Trinity. Vicious. They said it was paganism that the church incorporated from the Catholic Church, brought it in from paganism. The Trinity was pagan. And they were blasphemous against the Trinity. And I would identify them as anti. I tell them, you're manifesting everything of the Antichrist. You deny the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You're Antichrist. But it's so like, because you could listen to them and everything sounded good. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And then they would get vicious. Again, that's the ones I spoke with. I haven't really spoken with many oneness outside of their apologists, I'll say. But their apologists were vicious when it came to the Trinity. They could be calm and collect, and then I'd present the Trinity to them. It's Roman Catholic paganism brought in the 3rd century, and that it's pagan. It was a pagan belief, and nothing in the Bible about it. It was brought in as paganism. Well, that spirit in them was really Antichrist. No doubt about it, how ugly they were against the Trinity. It was incredible. Who was a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. So to believe that Jesus is the Christ, by definition here in 1 John 2:22, you have to believe in the Father and the Son. And we know from other scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and that's where we get the Godhead. Like 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So there you go, with them manifesting that spirit of Antichrist, and loathing, hating, despising. I would refer to it, when I dealt with them, I would refer to it as the Blessed Holy Trinity. 1 John 4:23, this is another verse with the Antichrist. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and is of that spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Well, there's another really beautiful explanation of it. That the Antichrist is coming, and there's a spirit of it already now in the world. But look at the requirement here. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come of the flesh is not of God, and is of that spirit of Antichrist. Now remember, this is a direct throwback to the Gnostics. The Gnostics denied that Jesus Christ. Now there were different avenues of the Gnostic belief, but one of them was he was a spirit being, and he had no flesh because flesh was evil, and for him to be without sin, he couldn't have a body like we did, like we do. Well, that's Antichrist. See, so this is what John is aiming at here, right here, especially verse 3 there, John 4:3, is the Gnostic heresy. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist. So there's another test for it, and I have a feeling, folks, that as we go on now, because there's going to be a certain belief during the tribulation period, and it is pagan. There's no doubt about it. It's paganism. And I believe we'll see a resurrection of this Gnostic heresy. So the Gnostic heresy is partly going to be idolatry with paganism. And the other part will be denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, because it's identified so strongly here in 1 John, and it was very strong in the 1st and 2nd century, as I mentioned, that belief. I would expect it to make a big comeback. Yeah, that's just my opinion. But it was so powerful, the church was confronting this so powerfully in the 1st and 2nd century. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a resurrection here as we approach the tribulation period. So the Gnostics did not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So John identified as the spirit of Antichrist. What is also the spirit of Antichrist? Denying the Father and the Son. So we're starting to see like a doctrine put together now of what this spirit of Antichrist is. Denying the Trinity and denying the body, the person of Jesus Christ. He had to die. He had to become sin for us. He had to have a body like us. He absolutely had to. So here, in 1 John 4:3, it's denying the propitiation, is the word, of Jesus Christ. We can't, if Jesus Christ did not have a body, then he didn't, his body didn't become sin for us. Pure and simple. So they're denying the atonement, of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. So John 2:22 denies his person of the Trinity. And then 1 John 4:3 denies his salvation work on the cross. 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction. Now wait, I think I missed something here. Hold on. I may not have this in order. I didn't have this in order. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So there again, it's denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is deception. And this is the end of the first century, the beginning of the second century. And this was a huge confrontation that the church was having with these false, they called Antichrist, denying the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross is Antichrist. And here it's adding that they are deceivers. It's deception. So what I wanted to do is, I didn't get to finish this, but I want to give you the names for the Antichrist during this section of teaching, because you can read things in scriptures and not realize that what you're reading about is the Antichrist. So we look at the Old Testament. Now, Daniel, most of it's in Daniel. And Daniel chapter 7, we'll look at chapter 7, verse 8, and then in chapter 8, 9 through 12, he's referred to as the little horn. The little horn. In Daniel 9:26, he's referred to as the prince that shall come. And that prince that shall come is the one that's going to make that covenant with Israel. See, that's the Antichrist, the beast. He is the one that is going to make the 7-year covenant with Israel. And he's none other than the Antichrist. The king of fierce countenance, Daniel 8:23. The willful king, Daniel 11:36. He's also known as the Assyrians. And you can see that in the prophets. Well, the other ones are all from Daniel. Isaiah 10:5, 14:25, and Micah 5:5-6. And then he's known as the lawless one, the wicked, the lawless one, in Psalm chapter 10, 2 through 4, and then in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then shall that wicked come, who the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, I didn't get a chance to post New Testament, but hang on here, because I do have it. Now, let me see where I do have it. Let me come back over. Okay, here I've got it. All right, now here's what he's known as in the New Testament. Of course, he's known as the Antichrist, and I shared those scriptures. Now he's known as the beast, and that's in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17. I've already taught on that. He's called the man of sin, That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He's also known as the son of perdition. And that's also chapter 2, verse 3. The wicked, that's lawless one. I just shared that with you. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. And then the deceiver, that's 2 John 1, 7. So those are the scriptures there. The main one is the beast. That is the main one there in the book of Revelation. He is referred to as a beast. And then the son of perdition, the man of sin, the wicked, Antichrist, the deceiver, king of fierce countenance, the prince that shall come, the little horn. So that gives you a bigger picture now of the man of sin. I'm trying to get back over it, folks, to, nope, I didn't cut myself off. There we go. I'm happy. I thought all the clicking I did, I had, I cut myself off, but I did not. All right. So, I wanted you to get that, a kind of a bigger, big picture and big background of, the man of sin. He's the Antichrist, yes. But he's got that, really, he's got that bigger picture there brought out. I mean, that's some pretty nasty names. The wicked one, the son of perdition. Wow, wait, the beast. All right, now let me go back because I kind of have things a little bit out of order here. Now let's go to, in fact, hold on here for a second. Sister Sharon?
Yes, Chaplain John. You can't hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. I didn't have my headphones on.
Okay.
I'm going to take a little break here to see if how you're following everything and if there are any questions, comments.
Okay, well, just the whole bit on the Antichrist, and that is can be rather confusing, and then yet not confusing and stuff. So it's just something that you got to very carefully follow along
yes.
with
yes.
and read it several times and hear it several times. But it is, quite honestly, Chaplain John, it's confusing.
Okay, now this will take the confusion away from you. Antichrist shall come. That's future.
Okay.
Twice it says,
all right.
Shall come. And then it says, but even now there are many antichrists. So the antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who is going to confront Jesus Christ there in the tribulation period, that he
okay.
shall come. He shall come. You see it?
He shall. Okay.
That's all future.
You said it's all hearsay?
No, it's all future.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to my corner.
Are you going to your corner and you're going to put that
yeah.
the dunce hat on? Huh?
Yeah, for saying hearsay. Oh, my goodness.
That's funny. All right. But you see it now. Has it cleared that right up? The
yeah.
Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many antichrists.
Right, right. That's it, because Jesus is the Christ, yet there are many antichrists.
Well, not exactly. There, he is the Christ.
Right.
And you know what it could be like? All right, I think I'm safe on these grounds. Jesus is the Christ, and we are Christians.
Right.
Follow?
Yes.
All right, so there is an Antichrist coming.
Yes.
But right now, there are many people that have the spirit of Antichrist in them.
Right, okay, I get that, yeah.
So, see, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we are followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. The others there have the
yeah.
spirit of Antichrist in them, and they are followers of the Antichrist who shall come.
Okay, yeah.
Is that clear enough?
I understand that. Yes, yes.
Okay.
That we're still waiting for the Antichrist.
Exactly. Exactly. You got it. All right, Sister Kathy, any questions or comments?
Yeah. So the Antichrist is just a demon.
No. The Antichrist
is... he's got to be alive now.
Well,
because, he can't be birthed and going to be coming. And so how can it be that he just doesn't, instead of just come, he's going to manifest?
I'm not sure, Sister Kathy. Say that again.
Okay, so he's got to be alive now. Antichrist has got to be alive now.
Okay, stop right there.
Because he couldn't start off as a baby and be... and us be ready for him, other than he has to be alive now.
Yes.
Because they actually said, like, any time God had prepared an Antichrist, if things had aligned up for it, to come in times past. So couldn't it be he's here, but he just hasn't manifested as Antichrist yet?
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
But he's not like in some holden far away place that he's just going to come and appear. He will just be exposed and step into his position.
Yes. When he makes that covenant with Israel, we'll know.
Yeah.
You know, if we're here, which I don't think we will be, we're going to be with the Lord. Well, let's say the rapture is 1 week before... the beast makes the covenant with Israel, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're here, and we're watching this politician from Europe. He's some general, say, and he's saying all these incredible things to the Jews. And I'll help you like this, and I'll protect you like that. So we look at everything that's happening, and we go, he's the Antichrist.
Right.
All right? So we can see it ahead of time if we were here. Now, I don't think we're going to be here. I think we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. But
amen.
We will be able to figure it out. The world won't have a clue, but we will be able to figure it out. He will be manifest when he signs that treaty with Israel.
Exactly. That was my point, because he's got to be here now. In an adult form, and he'll just—it's just like the sheep's covering coming off the wolf. He'll just be exposed.
Right, right. And it used to be, Sister Kathy, and for the old timers here, I can remember when I was a new believer back in the 1970s. They said, this person was going to be the Antichrist. This person was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had Henry Kissinger, I remember. They had King Juan Carlos of Spain as the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Charles.
King Charles. They had a whole bunch of them, right?
Yep.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that was like all nonsense. It was, but they had them. I mean, it was like sport or some sort of a. They'd be writing, and they have all these swelling, like, here's his genealogy. His genealogy is going back to King so-and-so. But, folks, listen, Adolf Hitler was at least in modern times, was the perfect candidate for the Antichrist with what he said and what he did do. Now, there are other things that were needed, but... anyways, Hitler during World War I was a corporal in the Austrian army. Now, that was in 1914, 1915. In 1939, which is however many years later, he was the Chancellor of Germany. So how could anyone in 1914 or 15 have accept by the word from the Lord? But how could they ever say that this corporal here is going to be the Chancellor of Germany and he's going to lead into a world war? Tens and tens of millions are going to die. and he's going to try and exterminate Judaism and kill 6 million.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't. It's impossible. You know, Napoleon during the French Revolution was a lieutenant in the French army, in the artillery. So how could you have ever looked at Napoleon and said, oh, he's going to become, what was he called? There was a title for him of the French, and he was going to lead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't think of his title. Yeah. Emperor. They called him emperor. And that went into a world war. Yeah. I mean, the Middle East was involved in it, and all of Europe was involved. So this stuff about today, or as it's been done through the years, pointing out and saying definitely that so-and-so is going to be the Antichrist. No, you can't tell it until things are lining up and this guy is in this position. He's the Roman prince, as the Bible identifies him. He's the prince to come. And he's working something very closely with Israel. Israel's enthralled with him. Okay, there it is. We can see it. But I think we're going to be with the Lord.
Yes, I agree.
I agree.
All right. Gigi, anything else, Sister Kathy?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, Sister Gigi. Yes, Gigi and or Randy. Hello.
Okay. Hello, John.
Yes, Randy.
I'm a little confused about things here because, you know, you quoted something that said that the Antichrist didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God or whatever. But we know that the Antichrist was the counterfeit Son of God, and the counterfeit God was Satan, and the counterfeit false prophet was the counterfeit Holy Spirit. So we know that the Antichrist, if he was a counterfeit Jesus, not believing in Jesus is a little hard to understand. It's also a little hard to understand how this Antichrist would amass this huge army for Armageddon to war with Jesus if he didn't believe that Jesus was the powerful one. So I just kind of wonder exactly what the Antichrist believed, because he was the counterfeit Jesus.
But if you notice in this here, yeah, if you notice in this, I'm not really talking about the Antichrist. I'm talking about those that are people that deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. That was the Gnostic heresy, that he was a spirit being, and that he didn't die for sin for us. And they're identifying him with John is identifying people. And also they deny the Trinity. So those were the characteristics to deny people that are the Antichrist. Does that help you?
Sure. The other thing is, you know, when it discusses the covenant, they make it sound like that's a covenant between the nation of Israel and this one guy called the Antichrist. But there's no reason why that covenant couldn't involve Israel and the party of the Antichrist. And what would be the most reasonable assumption about what the covenant would be all over? Well, what's it always? It's the land, right? So if this was some kind of covenant involving the land, and Christ and the other 10 kings could sign a covenant with Israel. So I just want to point out that viewing it just Israel against this Antichrist, the Antichrist didn't have power at the time that the tribulation started. He gained power when he took power over the 10 kings, killing three of them and beaten down the others.
Well,
what do you have to say about that?
He has power. He has power, but he doesn't have complete power till the mid-tribulation. He's not a weakling in there. I mean, if you look at the first seal and the white horse goes out, what did he do? He went to conquer. He went conquering and to conquer. Yeah, he's got power, but he doesn't have complete power. He has total power when we get to the mid-tribulation and the kings have united around the beast there, the Antichrist, and they kill the whore. And all the religious power comes under the beast because he has, to be worshipped, you got to take the mark of the beast. So all worship is focused on him. All political power is on him. Then it says in Revelation chapter 13 that who can make war against the beast? So all military power is with him. And then added to that, not only the religious to take the mark of the beast, but also economically, you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So everything is under his power at the mid-tribulation.
Yeah, well, that's in the mid-tribulation when he takes complete power. But what I'm saying is it's hard for me to picture this covenant between Israel and this one guy at the beginning of the tribulation, when in fact it could be a covenant between Israel and Europe, which incorporates the Antichrist, or with Arab nations that incorporates the Antichrist. But I just have a hard time picturing it as Israel on one side and the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation on the other. Would be their incentive to do that?
Well, obviously there had to be an incentive. And the incentive is, it just doesn't start at when he signs that treaty. Obviously, he's someone Israel knows, someone that's world famous. That there is, he has a beginning before he signs the covenant. That's otherwise Israel would have nothing to do with him. So Israel feels safe. This guy is going to provide safety to them. Is he the absolute ruler at this time? No. 3.5 years later, he will be. But at this time, the Bible refers to him as the prince to come. He has a lot of power, and they feel comfortable in making this treaty with him. He's going to offer them some sort of protection.
Well, that's enough of my questions for now. So I'm going to turn it back to you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Did I answer your questions, Randy?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Gigi, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. And then we have Rita here.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Yes.
I have no questions. I'm able to keep up. But I do have a comment. And it's, I don't know where it is in the Bible. I think it's in the New Testament where it says that he will have no desire for women.
That's in Daniel chapter 11.
In Daniel. Okay, it's in Daniel. Okay. And also, and I have no way to prove this, but I've always believed, it's of my opinion, and I'm not dogmatic about it, but I always believe that the Antichrist is going to be Jewish. He's going to be a Jew, because it says Antichrist. And for the Jews to accept him, I think he would have to be a Jew.
I don't know of any proof that he is a Jew, but that's a very interesting way you worded that. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, that's what I've always, because the Jews are very clannish, very cliquish, and a Jew doesn't marry
if they're a real Jew, an Orthodox Jew, a Jew will not marry a Gentile.
Right,
and
right.
So,
well, the only thing is, when you look at Revelation chapter 13, it says that the beast is coming out of the sea, and that's the sea is always representative of the Gentile nations.
Oh,
so,
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but that's a very interesting way to look at it.
Because, see,
said.
I thought when it says, when it talks about water in the Bible, I always thought it was talking about the water was a representation of people.
It could be, yes. It could be.
Okay.
Yes. If you hear, let me show you a scripture from Revelation chapter 17 here. This here, I don't know if I can or not. I can't, because I'm broadcasting right now, and it's I've just messed myself up by doing this. All right. But if you look at Revelation chapter 17 about the Whore of Babylon, and it says she sits on many waters, and then you follow it down to like verse 15, it tells you the waters are the nations. Many kindred tongues, people. So
okay.
Revelation 17 will tell you what those waters are.
Okay. You're very good point.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Now let me see if I can get back to... I don't learn. All right. That wasn't bad. All right, so let's go back here, trying to finish up these scriptures on Revelation chapter 2. So verse 20 says, "But it talks about them going out from us, but they were not of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now, that's very interesting. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That unction... It has something to do with like sticking to us. That's what the unction means. So that, and you know all things. So the best way to explain this is like you could be a new believer and the Jehovah Witnesses knock on the door and you really don't know much about it, but you're a real believer and you have an unction from the Holy One. That's the Holy Spirit and you know all things. Well, what they're telling you doesn't sound right. There's something wrong. You run into the Mormons. What they're telling you, there's something wrong. That's the unction from the Holy Spirit. Let's say you go to a Bible study and they're teaching oneness, and you're a real believer. But you don't know about oneness. You don't know too much about the Trinity. I'm talking about mostly young believers. But this, it's going to, won't sit right with you. Something wrong. It won't sit right with you. That's the unction. So here, the unction has to do about the spirit of Antichrist in the church manifesting and they're leaving. So, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So that unction from the Holy Spirit will tell you that they were not all of us, but they were of spirit of Antichrist. So the unction is spiritual, folks. See, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So if we're seeking the Lord and we're studying the Word, and you come up against false doctrine, false teaching, I don't know, whatever else can fit in there, that unction inside you will, like, protect you. Now, you may spend some time with the Mormons, let's say, but that unction is going to bring you out of it. It'll bring you out of it. So that's what that scripture is talking about. It's a... this is from the Holy Spirit, and it's teaching us, you know, what is true. It's bearing witness. I think that's a good word. It's bearing witness to the truth, really. That's what that unction is. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it. And there is no, and that no lie is in the truth. So the truth is pure. The truth always will stand the test of time. Lies can deceive, and lie, there can be half truths in it and all, but in the end, lies will be manifested, and the truth will, is like an anvil. And the truth is an anvil, and lies is like a hammer, and that hammer can hit the anvil all day long. It doesn't do anything to the anvil, but eventually that hammer will break against the anvil. The anvil will be there, but the hammer of lies will break. So I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. So what John's saying is I'm basically writing to reinforce you. I'm not writing to you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So John is writing here, this section, because the people know the truth, and he is reinforcing the truth in them by what he's writing. He's strengthening them. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So there's one of the characteristics of the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. And the other one is denying that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So those that deny the Father and the Son, and it's rough when you look at it. I mean, we're right with oneness, folks, and the oneness sounds good. It can sound really good. And I can remember that there's a television evangelist there, and I can't remember his name. He's a big, big black man. Jakes is his name. He's oneness, folks. And for the life of me, because he was like charismatic or whatever it is, how could these some big names associated with him? He's Antichrist. I mean, he denies the Trinity. So do we overlook that because he's popular and he's maybe charismatic? Do we just ignore what the scripture says? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, because that's what Christ is. He's the Savior. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So if you don't believe in the Father and the Son, and of course we know the other scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and that's the Godhead. If you don't believe in the Godhead like that, and you deny the Father and the Son, that is the spirit of Antichrist. That's a powerful spirit, folks. But because someone's popular, you know, you want, what kind of discernment do people have? What, there's something going on inside those people that will accept someone who is oneness, just like a believer. And then, 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. I covered that already. Okay, the names. Okay. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So believing in Jesus Christ and this soul win, you have to believe in the Father. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. There's a great encouragement here to remain in the faith, folks. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Well, here it's heard from the beginning is the Father and the Son, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he came in the flesh. You know, that's what this is talking about here. Shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Pretty strong, folks. This is the promise that he hath promised us, eternal life. So this is an encouragement. Verse 24 is an encouragement to abide in the faith, to not pull back, to stay with the what they heard from the beginning. And what's the promise? And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That is the Gnostic heretics. They were trying to seduce them against the main beliefs, which John was writing here for, to reinforce the true doctrine of the church. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. Well, in the context here, the Bible does encourage teachers. This has to do, the anointing here, has to do about standing against lies. That there's an anointing in us that goes along with the, I just forgot the word, folks. It goes with unction. The unction and the anointing, they go together. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And that's abiding in us by the Holy Spirit. And ye need that no man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth, folks. So it's that we hear the truth. The truth is like taught to us from Bible teachers. And the Holy Spirit bears witness whether that's truth or not. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it taught you, you shall abide in him. So the Holy Spirit teaches us all truth. We bear witness to that truth, and there's no lie in the truth. And even as it is taught you, the Holy Spirit, you shall abide in him. When you're taught the truth, we stay in Christ. We abide in him. We live in him. So it's the Holy Spirit that bears witness to the truthful. And I have no hesitation whatsoever that everyone see if what I'm teaching lines up with the Word of God. I have no hesitation at all that you, because ultimately, you know, you're responsible for your own faith like that. So what I teach has to line up with the Word of God. Okay, I think that's the end here now. Yeah, we have a little bit more in chapter 2, but then we start into 3. 3 is a really powerful, well, they all are powerful. 3 has lots of good stuff in it. And remember that bearing witness of the truth comes from the Holy Spirit. And I think that each one of us, in fact, I'm going to pray that we all love the truth. Now, there's something that I've learned through the years, folks, and it involves me, and it involves well, people in general. If we get man's doctrine in us, and the Lord talked about that, you know, you believe the doctrine of men and it makes the power of God null and void. That's what he told the Pharisees. It can be very hard. Once we believe something, it can be very hard to get it out. But what will keep you protected is that you love the truth, folks. You love the truth. The truth above all things. You know, you don't want to believe something to make people, someone happy or anything like that. You love the truth. And if you love the truth, that will protect you from anything, because that anointing of the truth and Holy Spirit will remain. So that's my suggestion to everyone, is love the truth. That'll protect you, and you may get knocked off course a little by some teaching that, but if you love the truth, you're going to come right back to plumb line of the truth. So you make a conscious effort here to love the truth, and that will protect you from any type of error, sleight of hand out there, wind of doctrine. The love of truth will protect you. In fact, I'd like to close with a prayer about that. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. And you said that your word is truth. Amen, Lord. Lord, when Pilate stood, when the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate, he said to him, "For this reason was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Jesus never answered him. Truth was standing right in front of him. So, Lord, I pray that everyone in this ministry, Lord, everyone will love truth, that we will love the truth and know lies of the truth. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we're asking that that anointing, that unction that's on the truth would be on each one of us, and that we will not be swayed by any type of wind of doctrine, Lord, but we'll stay honed in on you. And I believe the big thing to stay honed in on is the blessed hope. Correct. Believing in the truth of the rapture will protect us from much error. Multitudes of error will be protected from by living with the blessed hope. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for 1 John. And we praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's go back over here. And again, if they're in closing here for the teaching part, Sister Karen, any questions?
Well, no. I just need to put everything together in its place, and it's doable. It is really doable. I can understand it and stuff, but so I have to give it the time that it needs to soak into my brain.
Sure. Amen. 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 Sister Kathy?
No, I think I'm just plugging in and just ready for next week.
Okay. Okay. By the way, I know I've said this sometimes, maybe not a lot, but one of the, and I've thought about this, I've given much thought and prayer about it. How do we know? I mean, the one thing is like, if you're deceived, how do you know you're deceived? How do you find your way out? But I've learned through the years now, all these 50 years, Stay focused on the rapture, folks. Stay focused with the blessed hope. Era does not preach that. It just doesn't. That's love, folks. That looking for Christ coming for us and the rapture, the marriage supper of the Lamb and all. That's real believers. You can't, the era just does not preach that, Sister Kathy. They don't.
No, they stay 100 yards away from it.
So with yourself, just stay in the resurrection, Christ coming for us, the rapture, the blessed hope.
Yeah.
And that'll protect you, folks. That'll be the anchor of your soul, as the Bible calls it.
Made a lot of sense. That made a lot of sense.
Yes, it does.
And it put a lot of what you're teaching together.
Yeah, that's the plumb line, the blessed hope, the rapture.
Right.
And what does this world need? Hope.
Yes, absolutely. A straight plumb line is what we need.
Sister Sharon? No, Sister Gigi?
Yes, I'm here. We are here.
Okay.
Well, I have to, say that, I mean, we did have a pastor that taught on that, not all the time, but you are the only one. Well, there's somebody now who's teaching on it, but I'm just saying you're the only one that helps us to focus on that.
Yeah. I'm tongue-tied here, but I did that with the Lord. And I remember, Lord, all of this error, I don't know how long ago this was, 20, 30 years, no, it was more than 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So I said, Lord, how do I know I'm not deceived? What in your word will be like due north? You know what I mean? What's in your word, due north, that you can't get knocked off and head south or east and all that? What's due north? And it came back to me, live with the blessed hope. Christ's coming for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't take your eyes off that. Live with the blessed hope. And if you live with the blessed hope, you'll be following due north. You know? Like on a compass, you'll be following due north and you won't get pulled into some strange doctrine, because all that other stuff is worldly. It is. It's worldly, and it'll ground the power, drain the power of God out of it, one way or another. So stay focused on the blessed hope.
Yeah. And I think I think that one of the things that we've observed over time is that people that really don't have that, because there's denominations that don't have that. And it's very sad, because you can see like they struggle so much. It's very hard for them to overcome things, because they don't, it's like, okay, so they know about Jesus, they know about salvation, they know about baptism. But if you don't have a future and a hope, I mean, they think they're, going to be in heaven, but that's very ethereal. It's not something that's concrete for them to think about. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, well,
so we really
see if you don't live with the blessed hope, the cares of this world can get you. So the blessed hope keeps you from fear. It keeps you from power being drained out of you here, becoming, like ground in the things of the world and all. But the blessed hope is just exactly what it is. So that's my grounding in the word, in the world here, is the blessed hope. We're just sojourners and pilgrims here. Our citizenship is from heaven, from whence we look to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And
that is a message that resonates overseas.
Yeah, well, I do preach that overseas, yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you so much, John.
Okay. And then Sister Rita.
Well,
No, I have no comment or questions, Chaplain John. I just thank you for the teaching. I really am blessed, and I just thank you for teaching and taking your time to bring the lesson together.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's my joy. Every time I do that, the Lord shows me things, you know, to add to it. So, like, I added today the names of the Antichrist, because I was thinking, like, oops, I got to sneeze here. Well, not quite yet, but I knew that there was, you know, more names than the Antichrist and the Beast than I was thinking. So I did a little research there. And it's important to see where he's identified in other scriptures. A lot in Daniel, if you notice. A lot in Daniel. And I think I'm going to go back and kind of restudy Daniel with that focus on the Antichrist and the Beast. And because Daniel is the one that's really showing his activity. Of course, Revelation is too. Okay, well, we have got about a half hour left, and I guess that would be music time. No.
Well, tonight is the lunar eclipse, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Suzanne just called in. Hello, Suzanne.
Well, I've been listening, but I just wasn't called in. But I just have a real quick question. A lot of people that I know, I think that they just get hung up on, I don't think that they don't think there's a rapture. They just don't know when it's going to be, which technically none of us knows when it's going to be. So I think that that's what gets caught, lost in the shuffle, is this sense of, nobody knows when it is, and so then it just gets sort of put over in the back burner. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but obviously it's not. But do you know what I'm saying? Is that no one really knows. It says that even if you're thinking that, okay, none of us are going to be around for any of the bad stuff, we don't really know that for sure. I mean, because Corrie Ten Boom, you know, during all that concentration time, people could have, they thought that was when, like, that would have been nice if it would have happened then, because it was so bad. So that's why I think it just goes on and on and on and on. And that's my struggle with it, with other people, is the focus of, no one knows.
Well, from my belief, we know that we're going to be with the Lord during the tribulation period. Now, that does not mean that we're not going to suffer, you know, tribulation here. Doesn't mean that at all. Before his wrath is poured out, we're going to go to be with him. So that's the one that is part of the blessed hope. That's like the anchor of the blessed hope. So do people live with that hope? And as far as, you know, I hear people say, well, we don't know. Christ might not come from 100 years, 500 years. And my reaction to that is, well, how about he might come tomorrow? Why do you put it off 100 years? So it's a mindset that's involved with that. Sister Suzanne, and if you got to be real careful with it, because if you're not careful with it, it grounds us into this world, and then when we get grounded into the world, the cares of this world, the lust for other things enter in, and if the word becomes fruitless.
So your suggestion when talking to people, so that it's not an argument, What would be a suggestion to say, like you're mentioning about the your focus should be on the Blessed Hope?
Yes.
What would that look like to explain to somebody? Would it just be
Christ is the groom and we're the bride, and we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb?
But what I meant was to tell them, like, would you say focus on that, and set your mind on things above, not on things on earth?
Exactly.
You're just saying it's just you're verbally saying it, you're imagining it, you're thinking it, you're
living it. It's a living reality.
Living. Mm-hmm. So that you're trying to remember, I've got to be thinking that every day.
Yes, it's life, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then from there, what happens? We go to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Well, you would be proud of me, because when I did my Christmas newsletter, which I just mailed out about 65 of them, in this last week, I put that verse.
Oh, good.
It's like, instead of like a Christmas verse, I put that verse in there. And I thought that was really a good thing to do, because if somebody were to look it up, then that would be a reminder without getting into an argument. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Oh.
There's a looking for him. That's, that's Christianity. Like Christianity 101 is the cross, and Christianity 102 is his resurrection and is coming for us. Mm-hmm. So, we don't know when he's coming. Exactly right. He's the groom coming for the bride. And if a bride wasn't interested in the groom's coming, that wouldn't lend towards a pretty good, that wouldn't be grounds for a real coming good marriage.
Right. Wow. Anyway, well, thank you for.
You know, this is serious stuff, Sister Suzanne, because there are many, many, people that are so depressed and they're even suicidal. And this is, life, this can be life and death in a real sense. People give up hope. They have no hope. Well, if you really give up hope, I mean, you're in deep, deep trouble then. So our anchor is the blessed hope, Christ coming for us. That's reality. And it's not the him coming for us is exactly like the groom coming for his bride. That's exactly what it's like.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, and folks, my son was telling me about a good brother in the faith. I guess it was last year, and Jesse was talking to him and praying with him, and he was having problems, and he thought that he had gotten over the problems, and he committed suicide. So it was really deep, and this guy, and you know, that's life and death. He had no indication. He knew he was troubled, but no indication of the depth of the trouble. So, you know, and it affected a lot of people. It affected my son. It affected this guy's family, his kids, and affected the whole church. So, you know, I'm being really, what's the word? I'm going to be forceful. every preacher should be in one way or another promoting the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope. And maybe it should be in Sunday school, and maybe, you know, once or twice a month, or just closing the church service, encouraging everybody. We need that blessed hope. This world is, it's kind of structured to steal hope out of you. But this is spiritual warfare. And one of our major defenses against an attack of the devil is the blessed hope, the joy that it generates, the hope that it's an anchor to our soul, the peace that, yeah, the Lord's coming and we're going to be with him and we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and our permanent residence will be the New Jerusalem. And Christ has it set up that we're going to be kings and priests. That's reality. That's true. So people that believe in the Lord and are not anchored in the blessed hope, they can be really kicked around. So to me, this should be a regular, this is Christianity, you know, 102. 101 is the cross, 102 is his resurrection, and it's coming for us. And that needs to be preached and shared in testimony amongst ourselves and talked about. And there's tremendous blessings when we live with the blessed hope. Okay, let's see here. Well, Sister Suzanne, would you have, we're getting towards the end here, would you have a song that you'd be, you'd like us to play?
Yes, I have something different. It's a song, a couple songs, whichever one you could find, for my dad's funeral. That was in September, and the singer is Chris Rice, R-I-C-E, like eating rice.
Hold on. I have to get over to YouTube. I don't have YouTube open. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Just hold on.
Anyway.
Okay.
Hang it on. Is well, yeah, with my soul. It is well with my soul. It's the song by Chris Rice, and that's what and we did that I did that for my dad's funeral, as well as he did Come to Jesus also, and Johnny Cash Amazing Grace, but I'd really like to hear the It Is Well With My Soul by Chris Rice. It's a man, Chris.
I'm just gonna play the music. I'm not bringing it over.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is
Were you blessed?
Oh my goodness, that's the song that we played when we got to say goodbye to my dad as everybody was going out. It was just crying. It was just amazing. So thank you for playing that. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad that it brought some like joy to you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for visiting here, Sister Suzanne, and be more of a regular, all right?
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. All right, coming down in order here, Sister Rita.
Oh, good, Chaplain John. Okay, I like to hear Beulah Land by Casting Crowns.
Okay.
Is that right? That's the name of the group, isn't it, Casting Crowns?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep, here we go.
Okay, thank you.
Beulah Land.
Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand, where my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of homesick for a country where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. for time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday just a few more days to labor, and then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday
That's a very interesting song.
Yes.
Because Beulah Land.
Homesick.
There we go. Beulah Land is. Hang on here. I got so many buttons to push. Yeah, Beulah Land is where. Like final abode is, if you look at, it's Isaiah 60, either one or two, it talks about Beulah Land, but our Beulah Land is heaven for the believers. That's our Beulah Land. In fact,
okay.
Let me see if I can go over there without messing everything up. Yes, I did it.
Good for you.
I got to be careful with the buttons I press here. Isaiah. Yeah, here it is. Verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the head, in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. There shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt call Hizpah, but thou shalt be called Hizpah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
So Beulah Land is now, see this here, I look at this, these scriptures that I just shared with you, as the millennial reign of the Lord. And that our Beulah land will be heaven, the New Jerusalem. That's our Beulah land.
Yes.
Hey, I just thought of something. But hold on here. And thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Hey, when we look at, when we go to Revelation chapter 61, let me get over to Revelation chapter 61. It says that the New Jerusalem is coming down as a bride from heaven. Revelation, did I say 61? I meant Revelation 21.
Okay,
so I'm in 21. Let me scan down here, the New Jerusalem. All right, verse 9. Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy city, descending from heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a precious stone, even a... Okay, so let me read more coming down here. Okay, so we go back up there, and he said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, that's the New Jerusalem, and talked to me saying, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Let me think about this more, because it has something to do about the New Jerusalem is looked at as like in connection with the bride. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. What I'm trying to do is make the connection with Beulah land with that. It's the first time I've seen that. There might be a connection with Beulah land. So I'm actually thinking out loud. So I'm not saying there is, but I'm going to spend a little time going over that to connect Beulah land with the New Jerusalem. So thank you, Sister Rita. Now we've got Gigi. Do you have? Oh wait, Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Oh hello.
You got in here late.
I know I did. I've been out running around. Now that I'm finally back on my feet,
okay.
Had to get my glasses turned in to have them corrected because the prescription was wrong, and you know, did some catching up today.
Okay. All right. Oh, now about tomorrow. There's crazy things going on tomorrow. I had a little bit of a problem with Jamil because he said I'm scheduled to preach tomorrow in Pakistan, and I said no, Jamil, and I said I've been scheduled for quite a while to speak in Kenya with Pastor Zephaniah. So I contacted Zephaniah to please contact Jamil to see if we can work this out that I could preach both tomorrow. So I don't know tomorrow morning if I'll be at the prayer show tomorrow morning because I might be preaching in Pakistan. That's wild. I think Kenya's later. And then Saturday I'll be preaching in Pakistan, and Sunday Kenya, and then Sunday Kenya and Nigeria. So, that is not my fault. I did not double book.
No, you didn't.
No, I did not. And I got a little bit of tussle with Jamil. I said, Jamil, I have been booked for quite a while with Pastor Zephaniah. I knew nothing about Islamabad tomorrow. So, Sister Gigi. Hello, Sister Gigi.
Okay.
John?
Yeah,
yes.
Now you're done.
John?
Yes, Randy.
I wanted to make a request, but I don't know if it's possible or not. But I don't know Swahili, but I find it very worshipful to listen to Gladys
Masur, Zephaniah's wife, any of her music I find very, very worshipful. Even though I only know Baba Wewe is the only Swahili I know, which is our father.
Mingo. Mingo means God. Mingo is God in Swahili. That I know.
Well, I love the song that's got Baba Wewe in it, but anyway, I don't know if you can access anything by her.
Well, they have a film on the broken heart with Pastor Zephaniah, too.
Yeah. Well, I can't do that right now, but it's something we can look for.
Okay. That'll be good. Thanks.
Okay. And Sister Gigi, would you pray for me for tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, because it's jam-packed with me speaking?
I don't know.
I'll just give you an update. This morning we had prayer time with Pastor Jamil, and he had the pastors there that I preached that on Thursday, the day before. No, Wednesday, I guess it would have been. Anyways, the pastor that said there were 300 that had come to the Lord, there were 25 that gave testimony to being healed, and 35 that said that they have been, their hearts have been really healed from whatever. So
great.
I want everybody to know that. That's and the other thing is, if you would pray then for my preaching all this weekend,
because you have Pastor Abel in Nigeria, right?
That's Sunday.
Yeah, and then you have Pastor Zephaniah.
Yeah, on Sunday, Saturday, and Friday.
Yeah, and then are you preaching at Jamil's too?
It's very tomorrow. Yes, it's possible.
All right. We were praying, Randy and I were praying for all of that last night. I just wanted to verify that's what it was, but that's praise God for that good report. So okay. I will go ahead and pray.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, the Lord God of Israel, you are our hope, you are our Lord, you are our God, and you are the author over everything. We thank you, first of all, for all these opportunities that John has to bring your word and your message to these people in places that when we first started praying, we could never imagine that that's where it would be. And so we want to continue to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not only here in the U.S., but all across everywhere where Abba Father's Fellowship is and beyond that. But we want to pray for an outpouring, a special outpouring over Pastor Abel and his church and everyone that's coming. Bring many, many souls to yourself. We also are asking over every single meeting that there you would bring protection, guidance. There would be any kind of confusion or violence or anything like that. But everything would be done in decency and in order because you're in charge. And so we thank you so much for that in advance. And we pray especially over Pastor Abel and his whole situation there. I know things can be crazy close to him, but we're just praying that everyone that you bring to that meeting would be there and would receive Christ. There wouldn't be any violence or any disruption in the transmission of John being online with them, and that they would be able to hear and see well. Prepare their hearts, Lord. Prepare all of them. And let this be a great encouragement to Pastor Abel and his church. And we want to continue to thank you and praise you for what is going on in Pakistan with all the pastors there and Pastor Jamil. So we want to pray that you would protect everyone. And again, we want to pray
that you would bring many souls to yourself. We thank you for what has already happened on Wednesday, but we would like to see more. And people that maybe have no contact with any of this information or any of this the idea of who God really is, bring all those people to yourself, Lord. Bring multitudes. And again, protect the transmission and protect Pastor Jamil and all the other people that are involved there. And we also want to lift up and we want to praise you that Pastor Zephaniah can actually have a meeting. And we want to thank you. I just can't thank you enough, Lord. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. And you rescued Evangelist John. That was a miracle, Lord. We are just forever grateful for that. So I want to pray over the whole meeting that there wouldn't be any evil going on around there, or no person would come there to do evil, and put a hedge of protection around all of them. We want to pray a special blessing on Evangelist John and his family. Heal their broken hearts, heal their trauma, Lord, and restore them completely. And we would love to see many, many, many souls come to you. So we're praying over all of these times that John has this opportunity. Sometimes we don't know how long this can continue. So we're praying for a real outpouring. And we pray an anointing on John to preach exactly what you want him to, and that the people would respond because they would understand the true and living God and how important it is to know you, Lord. So we thank you in advance, and we pray that these people would not only come to you, but they would all want to be baptized.
Amen.
So we pray for that outpouring so that people will be baptized, saved, healed, and delivered, and especially healing of the broken heart. So we just want to thank you and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. All right.
John?
Yes, Randy.
I pray that you have plenty of strength for all this, yeah. All these meetings this weekend, that you will have really, really fine meetings, fine attendance, and you'll be strengthened. But I also pray that you'll remember that it wasn't too long ago that you were sick and that you don't want to overdo it. So we pray you won't be overdoing it this weekend. But for the future, if you have to say no to somebody in the future, that you shouldn't feel bad about it.
What does no mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you can't say no when you have that opportunity. There's no reason to say no.
That's yeah, I appreciate it, Brother Randy, seriously. So, I mean, I didn't do this over book on purpose. It just happened. But yeah. I do feel all my strength is back, and I do
Great.
Feel really good. Feel really, really good. So just keep me in prayer. And that's something we can pray for, is the Lord would pace things for me. You know what I mean? He would pace things.
Okay, let me pray that. So, Lord, we lift up all these situations to you. And we don't know about the timing. Sometimes it's the only way that it can happen. But we pray that you would pace them and that John will get great sleep at night, and you'd keep his immune system up, keep his mind clear and organized and able to hear from you, Lord. So we just pray a blessing over he and his family. And I want to pray for Jesse's friend's family. It's really a tragedy.
Yes.
Please comfort them, Lord, and help them. And we just pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. God, hey, I know how to end. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the anchor to our soul, folks, and it protects us in this world, that blessed hope. God bless you.
Amen.
So I don't know about tomorrow morning because of the speaking engagements, but the way it works now, Lord willing, we'll get together Friday night. Saturday night for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God bless everybody. Thank you for coming. And remember, it's incredible there, the blessed hope, the anchor of our soul. God bless you now.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.